Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
Hey, Atlanta, look at this. Chuckley, we finally get to work together. Woo-hoo. For years, whenever Carl goes on vacay, I've lobbied to have John Chuckley, one of my favorite guys. I always love listening to you and Randy over all those years on the weekends.
Who's Randy?
He works with a guy named Andy now, big time. But anyway, Chuckley's in, and they never put us together. Terry has always had some kind of our boss, a weird thing, like the world would have gone off its axis. We've had no near misses or anything. It's been smooth sailing for 3 hours.
The FCC has not called one time, have they, CCV? We have not gotten one Line 12 FCC call.
Right on. So John is here. We got plenty to talk about.
We still got two more days of this,
right,
too.
No, we're going to be over at Twin Peaks. That's when I know you're going to be on a bender, and you'll be a hot mess, and somebody will do some shots, and then you'll say something stupid. But anyway, we're hanging out here inside the Kia Studios.
7-11 most
tomorrow's nice, so. All draft coverage. We'll see what goes on. Nothing to break today. Just a few trades in the NBA, but nothing that affects the Hawks. But we will talk about the Mets, and we will get into the conversation, which is certainly, John, a lot of water cooler later in the 5 o'clock hour, in case you missed it. And that was that brawl at a Little League game over in Colorado.
Crazy stuff. I mean, it's a function. As Randy and I always used to say, we're perpetually stuck in 2018, and this is one of those 2018 moments that just was crazy to watch. And of course, everybody's got a video of it.
Right. And of course, and you get kids and they got to see this, and now everybody's losing their mind. We'll get our chance to weigh and let
the
you
kids
guys
are the sane ones, by the way, in all this.
Right.
They're the only sane ones that are left.
But anyway, you hadn't seen it. It's online. You can check it out. It's pretty disturbing. It's up there at Mike Bell ATL. What's your Twitter handle?
At JMCH316.
All right. Big time, special time in a boy's life. Let's say it. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for some Hey Man. Never mind.
Wait. Sorry.
We like to start.
Try that one more time.
5 o'clock. We like to start every hour of the show by saying, "Hey man!" There you go.
See, normally that's how you say it. Is that we start every hour by saying?
Oh, okay. It's true. Carl does say that, and he runs point. Anyway, let's hit the Falcon Report. Falcon Report?
Maybe no. Doesn't matter.
That brings us.
Sounds good.
I've screwed the whole thing up anyway. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the music. There you go. There you go.
But to our friends at Domino's. And it's time for the Falcon Report.
It's like Pavlov's dog. If I don't hear the music, we can't do the segment. You know what I mean? It's like we got to hear for it. Don't forget, guys, there's a medium three-topping pan pizza, $7.99. Go to Domino's.com when you carry out. Or a large three-topping for $7.99. A great deal, again, when you carry out at Domino's.com.
How many mediums can you eat?
Right now? Yeah. Two in one sitting.
Okay. Yeah. I'd love a pizza right about now. Anyway.
Well, we can make that happen.
I'm trying to be healthy for what that's got me. Anyway, so... if you haven't seen, by the way, AtlantaFalcons.com, of course, we're about 5 weeks away from training camp, Mike, before, of course, Falcons get to start their camp a little bit early because they're going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game in my hometown against the Denver Broncos. So they'll be starting camp a little bit earlier than some of the other teams, but still about 5 weeks away. I always joke, Mike, this is that time of year when the last thing you want is your name on, like, ESPN.com or FoxSports.com.
Right.
Whatever you do, you don't want your name out there. So... as you start looking for content, AtlantaFalcons.com has been getting a chance to talk to some of the different players and coaches in things like that. And, of course, Matt Ryan, now 11 years in here, and Mike Mularkey back with the team. And, of course, he was one of Mike's OCs over his career. But in the latest edition of the Falcons Audible podcast, Mularkey recalled Ryan's first practice and the first time he ever worked with the starters on offense. And, of course, he was the offensive coordinator back in 08 in Matt's rookie year. And he talks about how the play was called and what Ryan told his teammates in the huddle before he ran it, saying, quote, "We did a rotation with the quarterbacks, and Matt's first play that he got in with the ones, I called the formation, I write, act two, go. And Matt turned around, got in the huddle, and I can't say exactly the language that he used, but he looked across the huddle and said, hey, Roddy, go get this mother, and you can probably finish the rest
right on.
From there. So he said when Mularkey remembers the player's reaction, the huddle said, and I just had chills again, but I had chills go down my back like, oh, my God, I think we have one. Safe to say 11 years later that we've got our franchise quarterback.
And it's a guy that I know that a lot of people, by the time Mike Mularkey had moved on, we brought Dirk Cutter, and a lot of guys thought that maybe Matt had advanced beyond how Mike Mularkey was calling the game. You know, he's kind of like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. He wants to be rather conservative. And with Dirk Koetter, Matt, we got the 2012 championship. And certainly, you know, once you had Julio, things were off and running. I've always liked Mularkey as kind of like a foundation guy. That's why I'm so happy he's back, because he brings and instills a toughness, especially in an attacking style on the offensive line we haven't had. And that's a great story. Don't forget, guys, you got to go back in the time machine. This is after the lost season of Petrino quitting, Mike Vick and the Hooskow. You know, this is like a reset and a breath of fresh air when Ryan comes in and you realize that you made the right pick and you got a leader.
Well, think about that. That's Thomas's first draft. Mike Smith is brought in. You had, like you said, you had the Bobby Petrino debacle. Arthur had some strange comments that year as well. Mike's in Leavenworth in April of that year of 07. This is all back to 07. So you had a complete change. When you think of Mike Mularkey, you think of like football guys. You know what I mean? Like a football guy, a football lifer, Mike. I mean, you know, he was, you know, a player and coach, and he's been a head coach, and now back to being, you know, I guess what, technically he's our tight ends coach right now.
Yeah, but I still think, and even though that's his listing, if you look at the how they've got it laid out at Falcons, I still think this guy's going to have some input into what we're doing with the offensive line and their makeup.
It's like, who's the quarterbacks coach that they brought in?
Well, you've got to
OC.
Yeah, you've got to Kevin Knapp.
Yeah, Greg Knapp.
Greg Knapp. And Kevin's actually a guy who played offensive line for Georgia Tech, a buddy of mine. He's now in the Atlanta Police Department, but Greg is the guy who does the OC thing.
There you go.
Now QB.
So, when you've got football guys like that, you got Greg Knapp and you got Dirk Koetter and you got Mike Mularkey, they'll all get a piece of this. Because the reason for that, Mike, is because Dan Quinn has said, I'm taking over the defense. I'm going to be hands-on. Vic Beasley's either going to love me or hate me. So Dan is going to be overloaded with trying to make sure that that unit gets back to what it was in the Super Bowl year.
I'm excited about this team, and I think we've had a lot of people going round and round with us about, well, we didn't address defensive tackle. I think we're going to be fine on defense, guys. I really do. I mean, I know it's a question mark with Isaiah Oliver. You and I, again, we haven't had a chance to work together, get your chance on your thoughts on this. What are the chances this defense is right back to 16 or 17? Are you worried about the secondary?
Well, I'm worried about those two guys at defensive end, because if they don't go get the quarterback.
That's a given. I don't know what to expect.
But if they don't go get the quarterback, and the numbers I threw out last night, Mike, I need 44 sacks total out of this team, and I need 25 turnovers out of this team. If you're going to be in that top 10, 12 defense in the NFL, 44 sacks, 25 turnovers. If those two guys in the end don't go get it done, I do have concerns about what Isaiah Oliver, because it's nice to be a nickel and you get a few games at the end of the year and things like that. Now you're the number two, and now they're all going to pick on you, and you're going to be a guy that's going to be targeted and looked at out there. I think Trufant will be okay. I don't really have concerns about that. If it's safety, I am concerned about health. There's talk about whether or not Ricardo Allen is going to be ready and raring to go. Should they maybe sign another safety? Because they want KZ to be that nickel corner. Somebody asked me about, well, what about putting KZ back there? I think they want him to be nickel corner, and that's two-thirds of the time that you're playing nickel on your defense. So you may have to get a safety just as a stopgap, maybe for a week or two until Ricardo Allen
figures it all out. They've got a couple of guys. They're not household names, but they do have extra safeties on the roster right now.
Yeah, the guy they brought in from the Patriots was one of those guys.
But, I mean, as far as KZ, I mean, he's a playmaker. He's the one guy who actually can come down with interceptions. He's the one guy doing the work that Alford couldn't do, and then unfortunately other than the Super Bowl. And then the Trufant never does, which is come up with a big pick when you need it in a big moment. So KZ, I'm with you. As long as he's on the field, albeit nickel, or you got a worst case, put him in safety. I'm excited to see, and I brought this up a few times, everybody's raving about Kendall Sheffield. Guy's got speed. He had the pec injury at the combine. Right. But this is a guy that should have been a second-round pick.
Well, okay. So as a guy who follows Ohio State, my family follows Ohio State pretty closely.
All right, what's his malfunction?
Well, Sheffield is a guy who's, you know, I want to say he changed positions in college. He's very raw. He doesn't have very good ball skills. He's very raw. Now, he runs like a gazelle. I mean, there's no doubt. He's got super top-end speed. But he's not a polished type of corner. So that's part of why he is drafted where he is that he's not nearly a finished product. And look, of all the guys that have been drafted out of Ohio State the last several years, you know, they've been overloaded with talent there at defensive back at Ohio State. You know, he's got a lot of upside, but he needs to be coached in the NFL. He needs somebody to coach him. You can't teach speed, so that's the one thing that he's got going for him. But he needs somebody to coach him on ball technique and coverage and things like that.
You know what? I realize it's great. Just like you say about me with Florida State, Chuckry, you're too close to it. It is our Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's, guys. A large three-topping pizza.
Which is close to a pizza.
$7.99. Anyway. Medium, same deal with the pan pizza for $7.99. Sorry, I ambushed you on the hey, man. I should have set it up better at the top.
No, it's fine. Because I was ready for it, but then you kind of tripped me up a little bit.
It was on me. It's not you. It's me. But anyway, Chuckry's in here
today.
I'll get
ready for it. Don't worry.
What do you think, though, as far as, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you laid it out there. Unless Tack McKinley is going to take a big leap, I have no faith in Vic to do anything different than what he's done the last three seasons.
Well, if you get me 20 sacks out of those two guys, however you want to break it down, if that's 15-5, that's 10-10, I don't really care. But it has to be, you know, last year those two guys, 12 sacks, 26 pressures, that needs to be one guy. Forget two guys. That needs to be one guy. And for everybody that had angst about, well, we didn't address pass rush, hold on. They have their two guys. That's why Dan's going hands-on with those two guys. You have two first-round draft picks. Whether you like that or not, whether you like paying Vic, the reality is that's your two first-rounders. They're paying those guys. That's the two guys. Don't give me Jack Crawford. Don't give me Adrian Claiborne. Don't give me Tyler Davidson. Don't give me Grady Jarrett. Those two guys have to provide the bulk of the pass rush. And if they don't, let me assure you, there's no plan B.
The only way our pass rush gets better is if our offense gets better. I think it goes all the way back to 16. If we're scoring four touchdowns or more, if we're into the 30s and the points.
Well, keep your offense on the field. If third and two is not the wildcat with Mohamed Sanu lined up and we can line up and push people forward and Devontae Freeman can make the first down, if you keep your offense on the field and keep that running game. Look, part of why they weren't good at pass rush either, when you're 27th in the NFL rushing the football, that's going to be tough to be a Super Bowl team. I don't care how much you huck it around in the NFL. You got to be able to run the football when it matters most. And if you're third and two and you got wide receivers having to line up under center because you can't convert, that is a problem for your offense.
But that's the thing. If you're going to do what you did in 16, your offense is going to be better. You got more depth on offensive line than you've ever had. If the rookies can't make it, that's still a red flag and a big disappointment. But we've still got guys who can plug in. I don't think there's any way Caleb McGarry can't win the tackle position over Sombrello. But I still think regardless of how the offensive line works.
I got a dollar that says Tyson
Braille. Still better than what you did back last season and the year before when you couldn't run the ball and all the things you talked about.
I got a dollar that says Tyson Braille is going to start the first four games.
Make it $50, pal. This is full-timer money. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with Chuckery in here today.
They don't pay me that kind of money.
Well, then, hey,
McGarry,
if you're not coming and he's not starting, there's a problem there.
No,
because Tyson Braille flamed out with the Broncos. He's a good backup guy, a swing guy at guard and tackle. But if you're telling me, and I understand that because of where the draft fell and the run on tackles, you can make the argument McGarry is a glorified second rounder, but still, you did leverage some picks to get there. There's no way this guy can't win that job.
They do it because you want the fifth-year option. That's why you want, instead of high second or first, as early first, you'd rather have the fifth-year option. I just think, based upon what this coaching staff does and the way they think, I don't think they will line up two rookies on the right-hand side of their offensive line together. Now, I will tell you, by week 4 or 5, yeah, I think McGarry's going to start. But I think Tyson Braille is going to get the first few, especially when you're talking about Minnesota and Philadelphia right off the start. I don't know that Dan will line up two rookies on that right-hand side. So I'm not saying McGarry won't start at some point this year. Mm-hmm. I just think week 1, week 2, week 3, Tyson Braille is going to be your starter.
Yeah, Tyson Braille is a guy, we call him the sombrero for a reason. I mean, he's a serviceable NFL lineman. This guy was drafted to be a starter for hopefully two contracts with the Falcons.
Oh, I agree.
Starts in year 1. I mean, what's he going to learn from watching Sombrero get pushed around on roller skates?
Chris Lindstrom is NFL ready. He is NFL ready. And what's going to happen, Mike, in 2 years, 1 year, 2 years, McGarry and Lindstrom will slide inside. Lindstrom will be your center. McGarry will be your guard because that's where he projects better long term. His problem is that his first step and things like that, it's one thing to do it at Washington when you're playing Colorado and UCLA and things like that. It's another thing when NFL guys are standing on that outside there. I just think that they will work him in slower than what they do Lindstrom.
But remember, if Sombrello was so good, now again, he did play in 15 games last year. Why did it take so long for them to insert Sombrello over Schrader? I know Schrader had gotten the contract extension. He got to validate that move. But I'm telling you, Sombrello, to me, he's a serviceable backup. And I agree with everything you're talking about as far as
he's a rotational tackle.
The mechanics of how they're going to use the guy. But right now, Caleb McGarry can also prove he is a starting right tackle if he wants to make more money.
Hey, listen, if he's starter from day one, then he's proven it. I'm not telling you that I don't want him to start. I'm just telling you that if I had to pick Dan's brain, then I think that's where they're leaning, is that Tyson Braille and D-Led has said the same thing about it, that I'm not going to be surprised if the first, especially because Minnesota, Philadelphia, you may not want to throw two rookies together on that one. Mm. You know, if they were separate of one another, that might be one thing, Mike. Those two guys are going to be on that same exact position right there. And I'm not sure that Dan, at least those first 2 or 3 weeks, look, they have to win now. And you got to keep Matt upright.
Well, again, you're talking about those first four games because if you're not familiar with Philly, from how they do it inside out, they can get you from a number of different angles. And Minnesota's one of the best defenses in the league. Yep. So I'm with you there. But to me, first round means I start you. First round means you've got to be ready.
I understand.
And if I can't beat out Todd Sombrello, whatever you think of the level of competition in the Pac-12. And by the way, I do like the nastiness of McGarry. I know much was written, much ado about nothing, by the way. But I like the guy's attitude. And I'm hoping, now again, we won't get to see it in person until we get out there in that, July 22nd when they first report.
You know, those two guys blocked for two of the best running backs in all of college football, and A.J. Dillon and Myles Gaskin. So those guys were in high-octane running offenses. So
they also got to learn the nuances of the zone scheme.
Yeah, yeah. And Lindstrom did a lot of that at Boston College. So, all right, when we get back, it's going to be time for our strong arm story. We got Braves-Mets getting ready for game two tonight after the shellacking that the Braves took. We'll talk about all that next. Dukes and Bell, John Chuck Green for Carl Dukes, Mike Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuck Green for Carl Dukes for the rest of the week. Mike Bell in-house. Don't forget, you can always go to 929thegame.com, catch any replays of the shows, interviews, everything up online. Keep up with us on social media at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The show is at Dukes and Bell 929. He is at Mike Bell ATL. I am at JMCH 316. We'll get to our strong arm story here in just a couple of minutes. But obviously tomorrow, Mike, NBA draft. And, you know, you and I have been here for a long time in this town. I can tell you, Mike, in all honesty, for me, this is as exciting of a Hawks draft as I can honestly remember, because we know they're going to be movers and shakers. It's not going to be like a surprise when they make right. a move. But it's not been very often that the Hawks have been like exciting on draft night and you anticipate looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night.
I mean, I get it. Zion is a transformative guy, and maybe you liked R.J. Barrett. I'm not as hot on Cam Reddish as some guys are, but apparently the Hawks really like Cam Reddish. I like Devondre Hunt. I like some defense on a team which is giving up a lot of points. But the thing about this year, it was the wrong year for us to be – and we didn't tank. I mean, if ever there was a year where you're down but you still had an exciting season where there were games that had playoff vibes and Trae Young got so much better, second half he's one of the best players in the league. But it's one of those years, the NBA, Murphy's Law, they got to go to the new formula for how they pick the final three and everything in the bottom five where we get snaked by New Orleans. I mean, it just you can't catch a break. I mean, this is one where Zion, for all the obvious reasons, I just don't know if we're going to find a trading partner since the Knicks turned us down at three. Well, I mean, where are we going to go with the Pelicans?
Well, Cleveland's a player at five. Pelicans are a player at four. And to your point, Mike, the reality is that the Hawks had a better chance to get the number one overall pick than they did the number eight pick that they ended up with. They had 8% chance for number eight, 10% chance for number one. So you feel like in some ways, like, and I'm not saying that we were going to get KD or Klay, but you'd like to have a meeting with one of those.
Right.
You'd like to just, if nothing else, Mike, let's set up a meeting and just, hey, let's go out for a burger or a steak and just let's sit down and talk.
Well, we said so many times on this show, how about we get a Klay Thompson type? Well, we could just get Klay Thompson. And now nobody's going to get him because it's just such a strange landscape now with all the moves that are being made or not being made because of what's going on. To your point, we acquired a 2024 second-round pick. I'm sure we'll use that.
2024?
Where will we be in 2024? And cash considerations from the Heat in exchange for the 44th pick in the draft. So, again, we were told by Coach Pierce we were not going to be using all these picks. One of them is now off the books.
Yeah, and Travis Schlenk has been saying that, too, that there is no way that they're going to have six picks. So, all right, let's get to our strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, Braves and Mets, Mike. Game two coming up tonight. First pitch at 7:20. Max Fried and your guy, Steven Matz. Good
well,
Irishman.
my mom loved him. He's Lutheran, but no, he's not Jewish. But anyway, a nice kid from Stony Brook. And my mom always a big fan.
So he's got a tool set.
Yes, he does. His dad coached the Little League team. So Matz on the bump. There were rumors the Yankees might be interested in Steven Matz. He grew up a lifelong Mets fan. But you're going to see Fried, and you and I were talking about this. Can Fried get a little bit off the bit of a, not a wobble, but something off balance the last couple of games? Tonight, by the way, you get that great-looking palm tree.
Yes,
the gold Aussie chain. The Aussie chain. Yes. What's the number on that? I didn't hear on the broadcast. Ooh. Like first 20,000 or something?
That's a good question.
Because that's going to be a hot item, man.
It will be. I saw Zach Klein had the tweet out there talking about it. That's a good question. I don't know how many of those.
But anyway, get there. I know you're in the chop house. Sometimes you get a chance to go get like the bobbleheads, and then, you know, they're online for miles through the battery. Either way, get your hands on the chain. That'll be the prize tonight.
So obviously last night, it was not a good night at SunTrust. But look, you're going to have those kinds of nights. You give Jacob DeGrom four runs, and it's going to be over at that point. So offense couldn't get anything going. Yeah, a couple of home runs late in that game in the ninth inning out there. But Braves get blown out 10-2. DeGrom with 10 strikeouts, no walks, 8 in the third innings last night. And then, look, as Dale Murphy told us, you know, baseball is always about, you know, your momentum is, you know, as good as your next day starting pitcher out there. And honestly, you know, Tehran didn't have his stuff last night. You had to get to the bullpen early, and your bullpen didn't pitch very well last night either again. So now's when you need Max Fried, Mike, to step up. And look, I don't know if it's load management. I don't know what it is. Just a rough patch. Guys get video. They start to figure it out. But here's where you want to see a young guy that, okay, now he has, you know, now that the teams are adjusting to him, now it's time for him to adjust to the teams again.
Right. And the thing also, guys, last night, I said this earlier. I know you were laughing at me. But Teron, we've been on his butt about giving up the home runs and had sloppy starts. He actually had a nice run of a bunch of quality starts where the Braves all won his starts. I think it was 48 innings or such without a home run, so he's keeping the ball in the park. And last night, Alonso's been basically going yard on everybody, hitting tape measure shots when he's had his chances here at SunTrust. But I thought Teron is doing more. My point was more than we expected from him. The guy that I thought was going to be cracking the starting rotation was Tukey. And unfortunately, Tukey, after some good quality, you know, relief starts, or relief appearances, I should say, now he's getting hit. See, Tukey's throwing a ball that's very hittable right now.
Do you think that, because I believe Snitker, if he had his way, let's say if this team was going, let's say if this team goes to the playoffs today. Okay, I know Dallas Keuchel's coming. Just
right.
Listen to me for today. I think that one of the things why they are happy about Teron or wanted to see Fulte is I think in a playoff series, they'd love to split those two rookies apart. Like if you went Soroka 1, could you put Fulte or Teron 2 and then put Max Fried in the 3 versus I'm trotting out two rookies, and maybe you've got one of those rookies in a must-win second playoff game already, Mike. I think that's the benefit of Julio Teheran and how good he's been. I think they were hoping Fulte was going to be that guy, but I think that Snitker would love to be able to go rookie, get me a vet, and then bring another rookie back.
Right, and that's why we've mentioned guys like Madison Baumgartner, because, you know, you're talking right now in the here and now, but if we do got to get to the September and October, the pitch counts for guys like Soroka and Fried. We'll see how Fried responds tonight. I still want to see one more guy. Baumgartner, see what the Yankees got. They are the team that always gets mentioned with that one. But you surprised us, Braves, Liberty Media, by going and getting Keuchel. You still got to get a closer. Nobody, you don't trust Luke Jackson, do you?
Huh?
Exactly.
Well, excuse me?
Swarzak? I mean, will you explain this? I got to go round and round. I said this last week on Twitter. Like, how many goobers out there still want to argue with me over this? There's always that one element of Braves fans who feel the guy that they've watched come up, oh, he's going to be the closer. No, he's not. What are you looking at? He's blowing almost as many saves as he's saving games.
Well, think about, you know, A.J. Minter was 9.35 ERA. That hasn't been the answer. Luke has had 6 blown saves out of 16 opportunities. When you're less than 2 out of 3 in your save percentages, you know, the top guys are 80, 90% out there. It can't happen. Now, one piece of Braves news. The Braves today did play Sean Newcomb on the 7-day concussion IL. This is backdated to June 18th, and they have recalled, how do you pronounce his name? Huascar Inoa, the guy that they brought up the other day for like one-day stint.
I asked Bo for that yesterday. He couldn't give me the pronunciation either. Bo was like, NASCAR, big name. Big name, big name.
I think it's Inoa. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
He's
the first
coming
name,
up.
Something.
We were there on Saturday night. It was scary. I mean, obviously, if you saw, even on TV, it made like that whap, whap sound as Newcomb took one off the back of his noggin. We thought he was in bad shape. Real Muto really freaked out when the ball came off his bat.
Yeah.
Don't see it happen. What do you make of Newcomb? Because we talked to Alex Anthopoulos about 10 days ago. And I said, what's Newcomb's lot in life? Is he going to have to wait till next year to try to crack the starting rotation? He said, yeah, pretty much. And then he gets the shot. You know, do you still trust trotting Newcomb out there a few more tries to get him back as a starter?
No. Newcomb is filling a role. I mean, that's the thing. Right now, see, Mike, if you start to break down, okay, I've got starters that go 5 or 6 innings, okay? How do I bridge and get through that either 6th, 7th, you know, inning? Who can do that? Well, right now, Sean Newcomb is bridging that. Now, the back end, I get all that, okay? But you do, in this world today, have to have guys that can figure out the 6th, 7th, 8th inning before you get to the Kenley Jansons and the Will Smiths and those guys, you know, out there. So Newcomb is filling it. And whether it's because he's angry or he's upset, I don't care. Okay? I don't care what it is. He's filling that role. Now, Gausman goes on the IL. You had to have somebody start. And Newcomb's already on your roster, so you throw him out there. He would have been scheduled for this Saturday, but we know Keuchel's going to pitch Friday now. So he will pitch Friday in Washington. So everybody kind of shifts a spot out there.
You know, the thing about Newcomb was, remember the social media thing when it went down last year? And then for whatever reason, he's not been the same. Not that you want to draw a correlation to that, but he's just not been the same guy. And this guy was slated to be a starting pitcher, number 3 maybe in the rotation. Fulte, I presume. Now, I'll ask you, because again, if you're new to the show, I haven't had a chance to kind of pick Chuckery's brain on some of these things. Fulte's kind of a head case, but I think he's turned the corner. You think he's out of the woods? Think Fultonavich has it together now? He was also throwing a lot of hittable pitches that were landing very far.
You know, one thing about this Braves rotation that you notice, Mike, is that a lot of times it feels like one home run goes to a second that goes to a third. And that's where they start to get in trouble is that, you know, you give up that random home run, but it seems like they start to come in multiples. And that Fulte's had that problem. Tehran had that problem earlier in the year. Fried has had some of that problem. So, you know, when this pitching staff can keep it in the ballpark, they can go out there and they can get it done because teams aren't beating them through small ball or anything like that.
Right.
Fulte still kind of scares me. And he better have a good second. And I don't know if it's mental, physical, but they need him to step up in the second half.
Yeah, he's been a little flaky at times. But, hey, man, the Mets.
Well, so
am
I, but.
Good news is when you lose to DeGrom, who was on fire last night, the Phillies also fall to the Nationals. They were rained out the night before. So you don't lose any ground. You're three games up. According to a couple of listeners on Twitter, and you can follow us, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. You can follow Chuckery, by the way. John is, see if I can get it right, JMCH316.
That's it, baby.
Hey, check him out. One guy said he thought he heard Chip Carey say it's just the first 5,000 people getting the Aussie chain.
That's it?
I don't know. If, either way, get your butt in there on time.
Yeah.
Don't wait. I know you want to have that extra meatball at Sport and Social, but get your butt in there and get that chain.
Well, you would figure with the Mets in town that they'd have a, you know, schools out. It should be right. A pretty good crowd. Like, they had that record-setting weekend right. With a three-game set.
And by the way, if any of the guys I went to high school with are in town, they'd want that chain for themselves, regardless if it has a Braves connection.
That's true. Yeah, and they'll custom fit it.
I'm down here to watch the Mets, and I got a chain. Ah, it's unbelievable.
You know what I'm saying. Hey.
Now, Johnny, what do you got? You got a promo read?
No, I was just going to tell you, we're going to come back with In Case You Missed It, and Mike, you're going to fill us in on some stuff.
Yeah, man, the story that everybody's yapping about, if you hadn't seen it, this melee out in Colorado with kids 13 years old playing Little League and parents showing their butt. John and I will sign off on that and a whole lot more next.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Now, I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
And Mike Conte will be back tomorrow, guys, to help out with our draft coverage as we're waiting to see what the Hawks are going to do. They've already shed one of their picks in the second round to Miami. But all the excitement, as John said, man, a lot of buzz around the Hawks. Conte will be back for that one. Right now, he is still having fun up there in Gatlinburg with the in-laws and stuff. Poor guy. It's time for In Case You Missed It.
And he doesn't have kids, right? So, yeah. So, it's extra fun.
I think Mike was being diplomatic. I think his wife roped him into this one. Resurgence Orthopedics, guys, from neck to toes, muscle to bones. Get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com. Carl on the beach. John Chuckery in with us today, and he'll be with us tomorrow. And then Friday, guys, we'll be up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Let's get John loaded on the air. What could possibly go wrong?
Sounds like a Friday night. Sounds like a good Friday night to me.
Hey, man, I said 13-year-olds. The umpire was 13-year-old. The kids are even younger in the brawl by now that you've seen the videos gone viral. Police department out in a suburb of western portion of Denver looking for parents to name the guy that was sucker-punching parents in the middle of a melee, which began over an umpire's call.
Yeah, and, you know, we joked about, you know, everything reverts back to 2018, and now everybody's got their phone and their cameras, and they take all the video and everything like that. If you watch it, it's crazy because it's a melee with all kinds of people mixed up. There's a woman that comes and throws a Dusty Rhodes bionic elbow in the middle of all
right.
of this out there. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. But it's where we're at in society, Mike. You and I were talking off air a little bit about people nowadays are just, I don't know what it is, but they've gone insane. Whether you're leaving kids in cars, in hot cars, you're fighting at their T-ball games.
Right.
Just people are going, I don't know what it. And I, without getting too like socially deep or whatever like that, this is what happens when people don't get chances to interact face to face anymore. When everything is done behind keyboards and phones right. and things like that. You know, in the old days, I mean, you know, if I want to talk to you and hang out, we had to go face to face. Even if you were my enemy, we had to go face to face and meet one. Now you can cyber everybody and do everything. Yeah, like
everybody's
that.
A, you know, a Twitter tough guy or a social media Instagram. To your point, the other thing, and again, we don't want to get high and mighty on you, but I think if you guys have seen this. When we had the video come out from Toronto and the fans, you know, cheering, Kevin Durant going down, I've got to take the time, Carl and I, to explain to people on Twitter why you don't do that. So to me, I think it's a lack of civility. And we can go back, and as you said, we can spend 2 hours trying to figure out where that's gone south. You know, from the President of the United States all the way down to guys coaching Little League, we got people who got no common sense anymore.
Well, how about you have a Toronto Raptors parade rally to celebrate with millions of people? 4 people got stabbed and 2 people got shot. I mean, really?
Right.
Like, I mean, what's there to be, like, mad about in Toronto, for God's sakes?
You know, parents and coaches obviously unhappy with the call. Okay, the kid's 13. I remember, you ever umpire as a kid?
No, but I mean, yeah. I, you know, playing Little League yeah. and everything. I mean, it wasn't that serious, man.
I mean, at the end of the day, you got 7-year-olds, okay? It's one step above, like, T-ball. So the Lakewood police person said they've already looked into the video. They've got an idea of who the guy is that was running around sucker-punching people. The police department said several people have already been cited for disorderly conduct. Multiple injuries have been reported, and they're still seeking available information as they can about the fight. Because, yeah, I mean, the kids, first off, you get a 7-year-old kid. First time I saw my dad in a fight, I think I was 10. And my dad gave the guy, it was an Islander Ranger game. We're leaving the Coliseum. My dad gave this guy every opportunity, and the guy just kept talking. And my dad said, not one word to your mother. And then he beat the living snot out of this guy.
With Jack Reacher on him.
But
huh?
My old man, was a big dude.
Remember, you asked for this.
Yes.
This?
My old man said,
Jack Reacher in the book, by the way, is
6'4".
Yes.
Tom Cruise, not so much.
Yeah.
But my dad always said, you try to avoid a fight, we all learn the same lessons.
Yeah.
And there's some times where you just got to step up and you got to do what you got to do. But in this case, not only you got a melee, you got women throwing punches. I mean, the world's off its rocker, man.
Yeah. And especially given the sad part is when the kids are the most rational. All of it. You know, look, we got in scraps and stuff as kids and young kids and stuff like that. Now the kids are like standing back like, oh, well, the adults are the ones going at it. We're not even doing anything. Now it's the adults that we got to worry about.
I mean, and it's funny because kids, yes, newsflash, they do emulate what they see on TV. That's why kids, they love doing like, whether it's a home run, they're going to throw the bat or do some stuff they see in the bigs.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But to see your parents doing this, and this thing went, that's the other thing. Where was the common sense? It just went on and on, like a battle royal in WWE.
To your point, Mike. It wasn't like one guy walked up, threw a punch, and we're done or whatever. No, everybody had to get involved. And people are, like, diving at one another. And
right.
I mean, honestly, if they'd have had ropes up to, like, where people could jump off and go, they would have jumped off the turnbuckle and gotten at somebody.
At some point, if you're watching the video, Squid, you've seen it. You're waiting for things to kind of die down. And then I was thinking, okay, my first reaction when I watched this, are these guys on drugs? Was somebody, like, loading up, like, drinking a six-pack at his kid's Little League game? Because that's the only way you could rationalize some of these things you're seeing on this video.
You have to figure somebody got a little bit over the edge,
I'm trying to think. My dad could never be drinking, like, Buttermaker. He couldn't be drinking a six-pack when he's coaching the Little League team.
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of frowned on that even in the 70s.
Yes. I mean, listen, my Uncle Donnie was a guy that he only would wear two-pocket shirts.
Right.
You know why? Because he had a cigarette in one hand, a beer in the other, and he always had to have a beer in one pocket and his pack of smokes in the other pocket. And he would make my aunt buy two-pocket shirts. I got to have my next beer and my next cigarette with me, and I'm not going to carry it in my pants pocket. I'm going to put it right in my shirt pocket.
You know, you could have been a really cool gift giver at Christmas and got one of those Filipino shirts with those four pockets.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes, that'd have been very stylish.
You put a whole pack of Cools right in the front, man.
Let me tell you, my Uncle Donnie was anything but stylish, I can tell you that. There's a reason why I died at 55 of a massive coronary, but another story. You know?
Oh, Uncle Donnie, sorry about that. Well, you know, while we're on the subject, my old man checked out at 52, a week before his 52nd birthday. But then again, it was about cigarettes. Everybody smoked back then.
No, it was a badge of courage. My grandmother was 95 years old. She died at 95 years old. Mm-hmm. Up until about 90, 91, she smoked unfiltered Lucky Strikes.
That's
my grandfather, who died of emphysema and had gangrene in his foot and had to have it lopped off, he smoked unfiltered Camels to the point where his fingers were like as yellow as that mic socket you got on there.
Yikes. There you go. For kids in the car, it's back in the day. With John
and you know what?
John and Mike.
And you know what? John Wayne had cancer, and he said, take out one lung. Take out my other lung. I'll get gills, and I'll breathe like a fish. I don't care.
All right, man. Let's change over from bad decisions about smoking to food. And maybe this could be a bad decision for you, depending on how much you're willing to eat. I grew up with White Castles. I don't know if you had White Castles in Ohio. Crystal is obviously
Yes, they weren't in Canton, but they were a little bit further up.
Crystal, as you guys know, based here in Atlanta, maybe you saw this yesterday. They've just offered now an all-you-can-eat deal. Now, they say it's going to be for a limited time, but they haven't put a date on when they're going to squash it. Basically, the Crystals are offering $5.99, limited time. It's all the Crystal original burgers and fries you can eat.
$5.99. And this is where?
This is Crystal.
At all of them?
Crystal, it says the company, yada, yada, born during the Great Depression. This is from their press release. When people needed a fresh and filling meal at a price they could afford.
Because we did a story a few weeks ago to a month ago where the Crystals all up in Chattanooga were doing like 25-cent Crystal Hamburger Day. So like all the Chattanooga ones had that on there. So sometimes they do it market specific. But so $5.99, you got to go in there and it's all you can eat, fries and Crystal.
Apparently they first test marketed over in Montgomery, Alabama. And they fine-tune the promotion. So, yeah, basically, it's $5.99, unlimited original burgers and fries for a limited time. So check your participating Crystals to see if they are participating.
And the kids in their Happy Meal get the toy. If you're an adult, you get a defibrillator because you're going to have a heart attack and have to be resurrected after you eat all that.
Hey, man, we talked a lot on the show about air travel and strange situations. And one of the situations which had everybody's head spinning was going on with Boeing with the new planes. You know who sounded off on this lately? You see this?
Uh-uh.
Sully. Sully Sullenberger on what Boeing needs to do with the 737 MAX.
Well, they just sold their first one. Did you see that they sold? They actually got back in the business of selling one, and Boeing has taken a huge hit over this.
Yeah, man. They had the Paris Air Show, and the Airbuses are selling. And in my old line when I was a kid, my dad, if it ain't Boeing, I ain't going. Although they kind of screwed the pooch on this one with the computer software.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they have that term, too big to fail. Boeing's too big to fail. Boeing is one of those companies, Northrop Grumman. There are some, like, national defense contractors that, despite what you all think, they're too big to fail. So they may have their hiccups, but they're never going away.
Sully Sullenberger, the obviously the hero of the Hudson, says the problem is with some of these automated stabilization systems. He says they need to develop muscle memory of their experience to be immediately available in the future when such a crisis comes up. They says you got to know how much pressure to put on the stick. They said they have the technology that can do this. The pressure on the stick.
Excuse me?
The stick that flies the plane.
Hello.
I would imagine
what
that
I miss.
I'm trying to make heads or tails of this. We got a bunch of guys that are pilots and buddies who work in the.
Are you one of those guys that believes that the older your pilot is, the safer you feel?
Hell yeah!
That's the one time where like you want the senior citizen to be like piloting everything. I want an old guy pilot every time.
It's a bit. I saw a stand-up comedian do this. I do this every time I fly Delta. The guy goes,
this is Captain Bob Hutton. I'm like, oh, he's a good one.
the flight attendant says, and our pilot tonight is Bob Burbingham. I'm like, oh, he's one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he's not willing to wear a tie as my pilot, then we got problems.
To have Southwest kind of plays around with you? Where, like, they have a little joking and their shenanigans and their.
I've flown Southwest one time.
I mean, it's something because Craig, he's got to fly into Oakland, one of our engineer producers.
Well, that's because you guys are big mockers and fly around everywhere. I have to drive to Florida,
What?
Excuse me.
You know what? By the way, you make a good living in your other life.
Yeah, thank God.
You know what?
I got something to fall back
on. It's bad enough sometimes, Carl, and I have to apologize for our extravagances. I got to apologize to a guy I work with. I make no apologies for anything. And I fly first class,
listen,
pal.
Listen, I don't knock your guys' hustle at all. I don't knock your guys' hustle.
Hey, man.
If I'd be here 10 years, maybe something. Anyway.
Chuckery is here, and yes.
Salty.
A little salty. He's going to give you the headlines. Also, we're going to hear from Tom Penn, a conversation we had earlier today about the NBA, what's going to happen with all the moves this month.
Yeah, absolutely. As Mike said, when we get back, it's time for our top three headlines. Brought to you by Northside Hospital Orthopedic Institute. We'll get to all of that next. John Chuck in for Carl Dukes, Mike Bell, Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio, 19 in the game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.